Welcome to Equine Connection, the art of heart-centered horsemanship, the podcast where we explore the profound, sacred bond between horse and human. I am your host and guide, Corina Holzapfel, here to share insights, stories, and practical tools to help you create a deeper, more joyful connection with your horse. Whether you're a seasoned rider or just beginning your equine journey, this space is for you, a space to reflect, learn, and discover how to build trust, harmony, and partnership with your horse through heart-centered practices. So take a deep breath, settle in, and let's begin. Hey, friend, and welcome back to Equine Connection, the art of heart-centered horsemanship. I'm your host, Corina Holzapfel, and I'm so excited to share today's episode with you because it's a special one. In just a moment, you're going to hear a conversation I had with Britta Zeimer. She's a leadership coach. She's an equine behavior specialist and wild horse advocate. Now, let me tell you, this conversation truly lit me up. We dove deep into the fascinating world of wild horses, their way of leading, how they communicate with each other, and how we as humans can learn so much from them. Britta shared her insights on horse herds, alliances, and the importance of understanding horse and human archetypes. It's amazing how knowing the archetype of both of you, yourself and your horse, can completely shift the way you connect and work together. We also explored the profound ways in which wild horses teach us about authenticity, emotional clarity, and natural leadership. Britta has a unique approach that goes beyond traditional dominance-based methods, one that's grounded in understanding the subtle communication and the emotional depth of horses. As two German girls living in beautiful British Columbia, Britta and I found that we share a deep passion for understanding and connecting with horses in a way that honors their true nature. It was such a heartfelt conversation, and I can't wait for you to hear it. So sit back, relax, and join us as we explore the wisdom of wild horses and how it can transform the way we show up for ourselves and the horses in our care. Here is my conversation with Britta Zeimer. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the show. I'm so excited to be here today with an incredible guest. Her name is Britta Zeimer. She's a leadership coach and equine behavior specialist. And now this is super exciting. She has researched and studied the behavior of wild horses. I know I've already introduced her, and there's something so special about hearing someone's story directly from their heart. So Britta, thank you again for being here. I would love for you to share in your own words about yourself and the amazing work you're doing with wild horses. I'm honestly so thrilled to have you here. Your work is something that deeply resonates with me, and I just can't wait for our conversation today. I'm especially curious about what inspired you to focus your work on wild horses. So without further ado, welcome, Britta.
Thank you so much, Corina. So, thank you for the invitation. And I'm happy to share a little bit about how I came to study wild horses. And no worries, I chose the shorter version. So when I was a teen, I was riding, and I stopped it at some point because I didn't like the way horses were treated at that point. And some decades later, like about 15 years ago, I came back to the horse world, and there were some changes, but still we had to be the boss. It was all about control. The horse had to do always immediately what we were asking. And so I looked for more gentle methods that were more like a real mutual relationship.
Yeah.
And I think there's no approach I haven't studied. Of course, natural horsemanship seems to be the choice at the time, but this also didn't resonate with me. And then I rebuilt him and horse fitness training. So there were like a couple of trainings that I went into, and I enjoyed all of them. I found them all interesting, but still there was something missing. So, and I also incorporated positive reinforcement, and that really led to great relationships with my horses. But I still was struggling being like a confident leader. So I was not somebody who was able to really say, we do this now, because I didn't know exactly when and how, and if it was too intrusive. So, and then there were times where I didn't even really do something with my horses because I wasn't even sure which approach I should take because nothing really resonated with me. So now in the meantime, I had studied evolutionary psychology. And so I thought, okay, why am I not trying to find out the same that I was trying to find out for humans, which is, what do we expect when we are born? What did evolution prepare us for? Mm-hmm. So, and I don't know why I didn't even come to this earlier, because it's for me like such a no-brain connection to say, okay, studying how we were meant to live, and now studying how horses were meant to live. So I'm just trying to research how do wild horses behave, because for me it was important to see that, and I wanted to see how they react and behave and communicate when they're completely untouched by humans, mm-hmm. and when there was no training involved, like how do they relate to each other? So I was looking, I was sort of researching, and I found now 3 years ago a guy, and he actually not only observes horses, this is how he started, but he actually lives with them. So he lives with them. He has like a backpack and I think astronaut food, whatever. And he lives with them like for weeks. They like 24/7. Mm-hmm. So, and this allowed him to see them not only in these spectacular moments when they fight or discuss or run away from something, but really the moments. And he could tell, I mean, how many times they were like relaxed and what they were doing and the secrets of the day, how they related to each other. And these findings blew my mind. And then I started to connecting them with what I knew about humans. And I'm now studying the connection, like how do we influence the horses? So what he's screening is like really how do they behave? And my own approach is to connect it with the human side to see, okay, how different we grow up from what evolution prepared us for, which often leads to some form of trauma in one way or the other. And yes, in my opinion, almost everyone in certain levels is traumatized by what they experience in our Western society. And the same, of course, with horses, because this is our normal. So we draw our horses, our domestic horses, into our world, which then creates trauma within them. So, and my approach is really to understand how and to teach how wild horses actually behave and communicate, and to connect it with, let's say, patterns, relationship styles, and belief systems. And so let's say a horse says no to contact, and then you might feel rejected and like, oh, and this right. affects us emotionally. And so this is why I think this, so, and this is what I'm trying to do. So I'm taking his side of the knowledge and combine it with my part of the mm-hmm. equation. And I also, of course, observe wild horses myself. I observe horses in a sanctuary, former wild horses in actually two sanctuaries. I observe them in wild. And now I'm trying to make a connection, like what can we do first in their environment, in our togetherness, but also for us as humans to have a real relationship. And what I do, you can also use for every other relationship we have, relationships with humans, with ourselves, not only with horses. So this is an all over approach, like learning from our horse, from the relationship, because this is an honest feedback that they give. And learning from this relationship for our own personal growth.
Wow, I love this. I love this so much. And I feel like, I mean, we're two Germans living in Canada who just met like not long ago. And I feel like our paths have been so similar. This is so crazy, Britta. Like, I really feel you. Like when you explain how your path went, how you tried so many different things, that nothing felt right. I exactly went the exact same way like you, and I feel like I'm so impressed by your work that you're doing, because I feel like once we look at wild horses, they're the purest of all. Like, they can really show us what's going on, because all our domesticated horses, I mean, what are we doing with our horses? Everybody leads their horse on a lead rope. Everybody has some sort of tools to communicate with them, and then we think they're doing it at their own terms, right? Because like what I'm so much about is consent-based horsemanship, and I love liberty work, like real liberty work where you work with your horse and you're in the field and you're communicating with them, and they have a voice. They can say, yes, I want to work with you, or they can say no. Right. And as soon as you build that connection through them being able to voice their needs, you can build a connection of so much trust with them.
Actual trust and not just like compliance. And so it's really important to make this difference. A horse that always functions well and never resists is not a horse that trusts. It's a horse that learned to comply.
Exactly.
Because it's less stress. It's easier. And they're hardwired for connection. And they want, if they belong to a herd, they do everything to make this herd work. And so this is not necessarily like a sign. And I always say, I think it's like a quote, like once you take away the lead rope, all you have left is the truth. Mm-hmm. And so this is very true, but it's also take away the round pen and take away the big, like the arena. Just do it in a field. Mm-hmm. You should know,
exactly.
Do it in a field where like there's lots of space. And and then this, and the horse also sometimes has to learn for quite a while, like, that it's okay to say no, to not immediately react, because they are all conditioned, of course, and they know, oh, the human comes, I have to do this or that. So really, I think the real truth, you get this when you work with horses in a certain way for quite a while, until the horse really understands, it's okay to say no. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And then, when you then approach them in a wide field or whatever area you have, and then this is the true reaction.
Exactly.
And then you need to go even one step further to see, what is this doing with me when my horse says no? Mm-hmm. Like what does this mean for me? Like, why do I even have a horse? Well, what gap in my life is it? And am I trying to fill it? Am I lacking community? Am I lacking true friendship? Am I lacking a space where I can truly be me? And then if I feel I have this as my horses, and then this horse says, no, I don't want to right now or at all, then of course it feels very personal, because this is our identity. Yeah. This is it for many people. I sometimes say, when one of our minis, like, she's my best friend. So I can always go to her and she seems to know what's going on. And but this is a different story. But anyway, so I think this is, yeah, exactly this. And liberty is not liberty what many people think liberty is. So it doesn't mean like going in a wrong pen and letting them run in circles or something. This is not liberty work. So this is just a different form of conditioning and misusing white horse language, actually, to get them to do certain things that are not natural and that are not a sign of trust.
That brings me to my next question. What key lessons from wild horse herds can we apply to improve our relationship with our domestic horses?
There are tons. Okay. But let's focus on the most important ones. So horses don't respond. So it's always a thing, like, are we talking to wild horses or are we talking to domestic horses? Domestic horses, it depends. It depends on how much was this horse conditioned. And what character type is this horse? What character type am I? So what I do, and I use it a little bit from psychology, but I like to focus a lot on the Eastern philosophies in this area and Chinese traditional philosophy. And I see all the character types as certain elements, metal, fire, and wood, and water, and earth. So these five elements. So, and it depends on what kind of horse I have. Let's say I have a fire horse, and I'm Thursday, which I have. and this is the mare that brought me to all of this, that constantly questioned me until I finally, okay, yeah, I continue to love you. And then I try it, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I continue. We're still not there. So, and I think many people have that horse probably. And so, and I'm also a fire type. But I also, we are not always like your types. So we have like one main type. In my case, it might be fire. And then I have other elements like wood in my example. But the wood parts, when I was growing up, they were like, these are not welcome. These are not, we don't want to see them. So I was and while my fire personality traits, the curiosity, energy, and so that was okay in my paternal family. So, but it was not like saying no and being strong and all this. So it's now, and this is what my horse needs, certain things. And the problem is I am the same character type and we both need the same things, but it's hard to give it to each other because we have a similar type. So it required me, because I didn't pick her for that, but she turned out to be like that. So I got her from an auction. So she's a white horse. She's from Oregon. And she is from a reserve and she was sold to an auction and that's why I got her and I just bought her from a picture so I had no idea how she is. But she turned out to be fine. I was like, yay.
Well, I guess the horses that we need will find us always.
They find us and there is a reason even when we pick them by pictures because there was even like just one little sentence. She was very skittish. And instead of saying skittish, yeah, that should already have like, you don't need a skittish horse. You're very high energy as well. Like, uh-huh. This could have prevented me. You know, there were other horses along the way, but it was that horse, and there's a reason for it. And the universe knows exactly which horses we need. And so that's why. And then, of course, I had to develop, and she reflected it back to me. And so there were many similarities that, she feels like a soul horse, and there's like so much what we share. But at the same time, we needed both something like this. This calm presence, like this grounding energy, and we both couldn't give it to each other. So of course we ran into problems. Like when we went out, and there was something scary, and then she got scared, I got scared from her, and I,
yeah. So it goes around and loops, this is right.
Yeah, it is. And this is also so. This is the first thing. So the key lesson is when it's about relationships, it's really about what character type is my horse, what character type am I. And what does my horse need from me that I strengthen it so that my horse can get into its full potential that it can, you know, also grow. And I think this is a little bit of philosophy, but I think there's a reason why horses met humans. Mm-hmm. You could say all horses should whine. And yes, all horses that are whined should absolutely stay wild. But domestic horses, I see it as a challenge for both of us and maybe because in the wild, these are herds. And here we made herd animals individuals. So we get into like a very deep relationship with individual horses. And this also might allow them at some point to grow as a species. It might sound crazy, but like to develop and through us, if we do it right, and if we not try to, you know, completely draw them into our world and condition everything out of them, that could give us some hints on what we are missing in our lives. So yeah, so this is one, back to the key lesson. So the key lesson, know what your horse, the horse's character type is, know what your own character type is. And then they respond to the presence you bring, to your authenticity. They know exactly when you're lying or when you're not sure, if you say stop, but then actually you want your horse to come closer. Because you're missing like this closeness to anybody else and you want your horse, so you don't want to disappoint your horse and your horse comes to you and they say, stop, don't come closer. But your horse doesn't respond to this. It feels your need and it will come and it will probably even invade your space. And so it's really important to develop and to be authentically us so that you say, don't come closer. That we actually mean it, and only then our horse will respond to this. So this is when we talk about relationships, we are not talking about communication, we're talking about the actual relationship. And then of course in leadership. Leadership is not about control, it's about collaboration. It's about providing safety, making good decisions. So in the wild, no horse can force, no herd stallion can force another horse to become part of its herd. He can't. All he can do is to offer a certain type of leadership. And this horse, based on his character, and they have also different characters. I mean, this is of course much deeper, but like just on the surface. So they all have their certain character types. And also the stallion decides who can join the herd. So once he actually actively invites a horse into his herd, and so then both agree, my character fits into this herd, and the herd stallion agrees, this character is something we need in the herd. We don't have enough.
Oh.
So it is always in sync. It's always in balance, every herd. And this is something what our horses are missing, because we decide who can live with them and who not. So this is about it. So leadership is about providing true safety and security, making good decisions, and knowing who, like providing what this horse needs to come into the herd, and then being authentic and being present, not thinking about something else, but also with needs some off day. So I have always like needs some personal growth that you can do this, that you're not constantly faking.
I find that really interesting, as I'm working with corporate people in leadership and team development. And what you just explained, like that the stallion wants like a certain types of horses into the herd, that reminded me so much of like all those like personality tests that we're doing in leadership in the corporate world, where we have the DISC test. Absolutely. And all those tests, and it comes out you're like more certain percentage of this and less of that, and how important it is to balance this all out so that we have a team of people or a team of horses that really works well together. And what made me curious, you talking about this, was how does the lead stallion actually express who he wants in the herd? What are the nonverbal cues that horses give in the wild, and what can we learn from them to improve our communication with our horses?
So first, there are a few words to the leadership and corporate, and this is exactly it. And I'm preparing my community, and I'm still in the midst of it, but once this is done, I will write a book, and this is exactly it. It's about leadership and what we can learn in corporate leadership from wild horses.
Beautiful.
And it blows your mind. And I'm a leadership coach, and I'm also working with corporate, with leaders in the corporate world. And I always ask myself, what would a wild stallion do in this situation, if he would come into this situation? And then I give this advice, or of course you don't give advice that you in coaching walls and counseling, I'm a counselor. So you bring people to understand this themselves. And so I explain what's happening in the wild, and then people can draw their own conclusion. It's really amazing. Yeah, so when you talk about the stallion, so this is, of course, not something that I can answer like in 1 or 2 minutes, but I can try. So it's a system. So to answer this, I would need to go a little bit. So no herd lives by itself. Like, and there are herds of different sizes. So there could be herds of two, there could be herds of 30, 40, 50 horses in rare cases. But none of these horses or horse herds live by themselves. They live in a herd association, so they live with each other. And depending on the area and terrain they are living in, they have more or less contact with each other. And in certain life phases, horses change herds. And so first, they all within the herd, and they do their own change within the herd association, so they all know each other. They know each other from birth. So every herd knows every horse, not necessarily personal, because the only horse that has contact with other herds is the herd stallion, but still, they know each other. And then when there's a time when horses want to change, they go to the border of their own herd, and they already know all the herds. So they know already, my herd is not the herd that I want to be in right now, and they're looking for other herds, and they decide at some point, yeah, I think this herd. So these horses that want to change already have a very good idea on which herd would be good for them. So, and then they give certain signals, and it's a complete sequence, and made like a couple of videos, but they do certain things to show the other stallion they want to join. For example, just like that, to break it out, would be mirroring. So they're mirroring the other herd. And then they lead, and they come closer, and they signal through certain things to the other stallion. And then the stallion might decide, because he knows this horse already, this horse would fit very well into my herd, and I totally need a metal horse in my herd, because I am a wood-type character, or a water-type. So, and then, not that he thinks his brain, not just you, he knows that. Because he knows his presence and what he brings to the table. So, and he knows that we are lacking a little bit more of calmness, or we're lacking a little bit more of tolerance or curiosity or whatever. And then he said, yeah, you fit actually very well. And then there's a whole sequence on how he invites them into his, how he invites the other horse into his herd. And once he invites a horse, it can stay. But not all horses who live with a herd stay forever. Sometimes they leave after like a couple of days and they're like, oh, this is how it is now. I go back to my herd. So they don't necessarily stay there, but most of the time you do. But it's almost like a test phase. They can say, okay, let's try out, like, how is it here? And if they're like, I thought it would be different, they can go back. But of course, there's much more to it. And which horse wants to change? Is it a mare? Is it a older mare? Is it a young stallion? Let's say 2 or 3 year old stallions do not necessarily switch herds that in this way. They might form bachelor herds, but there's like so much more to it. Yeah, but this is in a nutshell, this is it. So it's like a mutual thing. So it's not what many people think. The stallion goes, I like this mare, so I steal her. So this is not how this works. So no stallion can actually steal a mare. They try in spring, for example, to challenge other herd stallions when they are part of the bachelor herd and trying to form their own herd. They try to challenge the other stallion, but it's not the winner takes the ball or something. It's just like that a mare who observes this might think, oh, this young stallion, that is actually much more interesting. And besides that, the red stallion is my father because it's a younger mare. So I have no future here in this herd. So why? Maybe I just join him. I like him. So and then she might follow him. And then they might just together for a while. And then because she might be in more experience, she might actually for a while lead that little herd and make the most important decisions because a young, let's say 3, 4, 5 year old young stallion, he doesn't even know how to lead a herd. So Jana, the mare, will help him with a bit of this. So yeah, there are lots of interesting dynamics that are happening. So, and yeah, this is very important when we know this. What we need to look for, like which gender does my horse have? Sorry, but it's just like with horses, it's often very clear. And then it's always very clear. And then which character does my horse have? And which age is it? Which season is it? Which situation? So all this plays a role how they behave. And when you know this and all the different, you can, based on everything that I learned and that I'm passing on, it's really like once you know all this, you can immediately see this is this and this is what my horse needs. This is what my horse is asking for. This is why my horse looks this way outside of the pasture or whatever. So when you have all these little parts, you can always draw the picture yourself.
Wow, I feel that this is really mind-blowing to me, especially the idea that they live in associations. I had no idea. I thought like every horse herd in the wild is by themselves, right?
But I thought the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And this blew my mind also, and also this helps us to understand this another thing that this has us in evolutionary psychology as well, because of course we don't know how people lived in the Stone Ages. And of course we can observe tribes, but these are often also not completely natural anymore. So we can actually learn from white horses and how they behave, how we must have, because we are actually socially, our social structure is not too different than white horses if we would live our natural way. So we can not only learn on how to treat our horses, what our horse needs, but also what we would actually need. And then we can see which gaps we have. And I think having a horse already tells you, you're missing something. You're missing something in nature. You're missing something within you and the horse is representing this. So why not just open our hearts and joining them in their world rather than trying to draw them into our world and condition certain behaviors away so that they don't behave like white horses anymore. Because it can help us to overcome our own trauma and I'm not talking about valued trauma. I'm talking about just living in this society, in this setup, in this isolation. And just to overcome this, if we join them in their world rather than asking them to do what we want.
I love this. It's so amazing because, I mean, it has so much potential, right? Like something that 10 years ago, nobody would ever talk about. And all of a sudden, I feel like the world is opening up for our horses to be better understood. Like, there's so much more happening right now where people wake up and realize that this is not all. Like, they start to notice that the horses are actually teachers. They're helping us to understand ourselves better. And this really warms my heart, because this has been on my heart for so long. And I was always very, very frustrated when I saw, back in the time when I had my horses boarded in boarding stables, and I would see what others would do with their horses. Like, it really was painful to watch. And and nowadays, like, there's so many more people who realize that they're such beautiful beings that just want to live in peace, and they just want to be understood, and people are opening up to that, and their relationships get so much better.
Absolutely. And 100%. And this is also part of why I decided, once I wanted to do it or walk with Gentle Way, why I had the horses separate, because I couldn't watch it. And also the drama that is often happening in stalls, and because people are telling you, oh, you should be this, you should be that, you should behave more like this, your horse is this or that.
Yeah.
And so I know people who even pretend they have injuries to not ride anymore. I know people who pretend their horses have anything wrong with them to be able to not, you know, do certain things with them, or who come at night when nobody else is there so that they are not, you know, have to talk or excuse their approaches.
Yeah.
And I just wish we could change that. But unfortunately, when you look at the current situation in the world, and just like a small sentence about this, the fear-based leadership is on the rise. I just did a blog article about this. And so we really have to be careful to not be swept away by this. That it's now okay to not be compassionate anymore, to not, even Elon Musk said that empathy is about the weakness of the Western world, and it's not. It's our strength.
This is what made
us survive and made us stronger, and to be connected, to be able to have our communities to support each other within our group, and not only within our own group, our own herd, but in other herds that belong to the bigger community association, like herd association, tribe associations. And so this is not about, being the boss, the controller, the strong man or whatever. It's really, and no herd stallion is such a leader, none. They all would sacrifice themselves without a second thinking about it. For their herd. That's it. Mm-hmm. And literally sacrifice their lives. And it's not even like controversial. They would do it in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to wrap this up here, because we're already half an hour in, what's one thing our listeners can begin to practice today to deepen their connection with their horse, whether wild or domesticated horses? What's your tip?
So that depends, of course. It depends on where your relationship is with your horse. But I always recommend for the beginning, because there's a huge difference, and it cannot be overstated how important it is to differentiate, am I already part of my horse's herd or am I not? And if so, when I have more than two horses, do I have one herd or do I have two herds when I have them together? And even if you have just one horse and it is part of a larger community of horses, try to find out to which herd your horse belongs and if you are part of this herd. And then, and how you can do this is you just sit there and you see how they move, how they react to you, like in pasture. And when you know you're part of the herd, just try to observe yourself while you're there and do what you want to do. Just tap into your inner wisdom and do certain things. You might just sit there. You might pretend grazing. You might be just mirror them. And then ask yourself every time, what might do they think of me right now? Like, how would this fit into a natural herd? Like, how, if I were there, what would I think about me, about my behavior? To get like an awareness of where we are. Are we already part of our horse's herd? Some people, when they have more than one horse, they might actually have two or three herds. And usually you cannot belong to several herds. Like if you have, let's say, 10, 15 horses, and you have three groups, and you belong to the group of three horses, then you have to behave differently to the other groups of horses, because then this is what you'll herd. So there are so many things to consider. But just for now, just see if you're already part of your horse's herd. And if you are, just tap into your inner wisdom. You have this. I know this. Because why? Because first, you're listening here. And just not here. And second, you have a horse and you're open to try out new things. So just tap into your inner wisdom and ask yourself, what would my horse think?
So what if I have a hammock here in my pasture, in the big pasture, mm-hmm. where my seven horses are. So when I'm laying in my hammock, there's a certain horses come and join me. So
and this is your herd.
This is my herd. Okay, I got it. All right. So, and I can't connect with the others because I belong to this
herd. You
can,
but in a different way. Because what you do, you want to be the herd leader. So when you, and you probably are from what I hear, so you are this is your herd, you are the herd leader. You are allowed to have contact to the other herds. And but you have to behave in certain ways, because there's a difference on how a herd standing would behave to other herds and to its own herd. So there are certain things that you need to, and your horses know this already, who belongs to which herd, and they already know to which herd you belong. So but when you use actual wild horse language, it will become much easier to communicate with them and to tell them, like, here's a boundary, or we do this now, or we do that now. And then, so yes, you can absolutely communicate, but in a different way.
All right. So, that was a lot we talked about today. And I feel our listeners have learned a whole lot. Because even I mean, there were so many good nuggets in here where I thought, like, I didn't know that. Like, I've worked with horses for 40 years. I didn't know that.
I know. Yeah. And this is why it blew my mind to learn about wild horses and how much it can help us also, especially with our horse, of course, but also in our daily lives, because everyone who's in a leadership position, and even if you have a child, you are in a leadership position. Leadership position means you're providing frame, and within this frame, this other being can, you know, behave how it wants, like the frame you set. And so everyone who is in a leadership position, be it corporate, being privately, should know about this concept of leadership and should live this concept of leadership for the others to truly feel safe and to truly trust, because trust comes from good decisions.
Exactly.
And providing safety and not control and fear.
Wow, this has been such an insightful conversation. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom on
wild
horses.
Thank you so much for this opportunity to talk to you, and I so appreciate what you do and your approach to horses, and the openness, and even to provide this whole setup. Then we figured it out. We tried everything, and it worked out perfectly. But thank you so much for this opportunity.
You're very welcome.
And I'm super happy we met two Germans in BC, Canada. So this is amazing. I'm so happy. I'm looking forward to hopefully see or hear from other people. And if you want to learn more, just follow me. My website is www.being-herd.com, and there you find blogs and guides and a video series. So lots of free resources to dive into the world of white horses. And maybe it's just as fascinating for you as it was for me. It was mind-blowing. Once I learned this 3 years ago, I cut everything. I took every website I had so far. I worked with horses before. I took everything offline. I was like, wait, I just need to get this straight.
Exactly.
Really, like, this is it. Like,
once we learn how the truth, then we can't act anymore.
Once you see, you can't unsee.
Yes, exactly. So for our listeners, if you're looking to deepen your connection with your horse, I encourage you to start by tuning into your own energy and your nervous system. Because when we regulate ourselves and become more attuned to our horse's needs, that's when the magic happens. Britta, thank you again for being here today and for all the incredible work you're doing with wild horses. I'm sure our listeners are leaving with a lot of valuable takeaways. And for, as you said, for those who want to learn more about your work and connect with you, tell them again, where can they find you?
So I have, of course, profiles on YouTube. I have TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, of course. And everything is, of course, on my website. It's being-horses.com. And there are all the three resources. It's Britta, being what? I think it's, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Beautiful.
So this, there you should find me. And
thank
also
you.
Follow Corinna. She's amazing.
Thank you. That's wonderful. I think I can speak for both of us when I offer a huge thank you from our hearts to all our listeners for joining us. And be sure
thank
to
you.
Check out Being Heard. Connect with Britta for more of her incredible work. And for more resources and to stay connected with me, visit CorinnaHoltzappel.com, explore Connected Harmony Horsemanship. And all the links are going to be in the show notes for today's episode. And I will be back soon with more insightful conversations. Until next time, take care and keep nurturing your connection with your horse.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of Equine Connection, the Art of Heart-Centered Horsemanship. I hope today's conversation has inspired you to deepen your bond with your horse and to approach your partnership with greater awareness, respect, and compassion. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with fellow horse lovers. You can also connect with me on Instagram and Facebook at Corinna Holzapfel, or visit my website, CorinnaHoltzappel.com, for more resources, tips, and inspiration. You'll find the links in the show notes. Remember, every moment you share with your horse is an opportunity to listen, learn, and grow together. Until next time, keep your heart open and may your connection continue to flourish.